Hello.
I'm August.
And I'm Kendra.
And you're listening to Book Dumb, the bookcast brought to you by a couple of dummies.
So this week, we are back better than ever, baby, and we are doing a holiday gift guide.
Yeah, so we're going to be sharing books for a variety of situations where maybe you're going to need to get somebody a present. I feel like this isn't even necessarily for the holidays. It could just be like a general book buying guide, just for a wide variety of people that you might have to get a present for at some point.
Definitely. We know that we're getting close to, I mean, Hanukkah's already started. So happy Hanukkah to those who celebrate. And I know that like Christmas, Kwanzaa, all around the corner, lots of different holidays coming up. And so presents for our loved ones and maybe not so loved ones are at the top of our minds.
So we came up with a number of categories for this one that we feel like covers enough of the spectrum of people that you might be getting books for. But before we get into our gift guide, do you want to tell me what you're reading right now?
I absolutely really do. I meant to text you about this yesterday. So good thing we have this podcast as a platform to check in with each other as friends. I just started yesterday. I wouldn't say in a reading slump, but just not reading as much in the past 2 weeks. One, because the holiday, and then like work's been crazy. August, I'm sure, can relate. She's nodding profusely. Yeah. So I'm reading The Radium Girls by Kate Moore, which has something I've always kind of been interested in. But I remember thinking it's kind of a long book for what I would imagine wouldn't be so much to unpack. And The Radium Girls is about like the use of phosphorus in like various products, but specifically paints. During the 30s, is it the 40s? It's 1917, Kendra, you're about 20, 30 years off. And it's really fucking good. I'm only about 3 hours in, really enjoying it. The narrator's kind of boring, but the content's really interesting.
That is one that I've been wanting to pick up for the longest time. I feel like since ever hearing about The Radium Girls a couple years ago, probably when this book came out. But wow, I'm very jealous and I'm glad that you're enjoying it. I'm sad that the reader isn't the best though. It's always a bummer.
It's a bit robotic. It sounds like Siri's reading it. But okay. I think I was able to get past it, but maybe a physical copy would be more enjoyable because of that.
Fair.
Okay, what are you reading right now?
I'm actually reading a book that you got me. So, wow, I'm reading a present that you got me, appropriate for the gift guide. I'm reading Mr. Norris Changes Trains by Christopher Isherwood, which you so graciously got me for my birthday in November. And I'm really liking it so far. I loved his other book, A Single Man. And so I think that's why you got me this one as well. It's set in Berlin, pre-World War II, which is just, I mean, it's the Weimar era, which is really enjoyable to read about. I am just getting big cabaret vibes from it at times.
I'm very happy you're reading it. I hope you continue to enjoy it. And I would just go ahead.
Oh yeah, I only have like 40 or 50 pages left. So really enjoying it. It's been my book to read at my breaks at work. Mm-hmm. So it's been keeping me good company.
Awesome. Well, obviously I'm an authority on gift guides of books.
Well, you just know me so well.
I legit think you're the first person to read a book I've given them so quickly.
I just saw that cover and I was like, if you didn't get it for me, I would have been like, you're coming home with me. It's one of those situations.
Yep. Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. Okay. Are we ready to get into the meat of the episode?
Yes. So we have 10 categories and we each picked at least one book per category. So there'll be at least 20 books listed here in this episode to hopefully help you out this holiday season.
But you know, we can't help ourselves. Every once in a while, we're like, we couldn't choose between two. So here's an honor, or we couldn't choose just one. So here's an honorable mention. And we'll provide like a brief synopsis, no spoilers whatsoever in this episode. And maybe we'll give some context about why we picked it.
Perfect. So should we jump into our first category?
Yeah. Do you want to get us started off with our books for anyone?
Yeah. So these are books that you can buy for anyone, pretty much. Just safe picks. And I actually picked two for this one. So I just went against what I was just saying about only picking one, but I picked Animal Farm by George Orwell and then also Crying in H Mart by Michelle Zauner. Very different books. I think it kind of just depends on who you know, who you want to buy presents for. Animal Farm is a classic. I feel like at this point, getting into a history of communism and the corruption found within communism during George Orwell's lifetime through animals on a farm. And then Crying in H Mart is a memoir by the primary member of Japanese Breakfast, Michelle Zauner, and it gets into feelings of identity and cultural loss after the passing of her mother. And it's just a really great memoir. You don't have to listen to Japanese Breakfast to like it. I personally haven't listened to too much of their music. Not that I don't like it, but I really loved this memoir.
Excellent choices. Rubber Stamp, both of those. I also have two for this one because I couldn't resist. So my first one is The Vanishing Half by Britt Bennett. I know we've all seen this all over the place, especially last year. I still think it's a phenomenal book, still 5 out of 5 for me. And I think books that are like generally popular and like that maybe your giftee has seen before is a good one to give them. Also, it's a beautiful cover and it's a beautifully written book that's incredibly, I believe, incredibly accessible. The Vanishing Half is about two sisters whose lives ultimately take opposite trajectories. They're both Black identifying. One chooses to pass as white, marries a white man, and raises a daughter who is white passing. And the other stays home and continues to like embrace her Black identity, marries a Black man, and has a daughter who is dark skinned. It demonstrates how the different families really experience the world in incredibly different ways. And it's really good. It touches on some heavy topics in, I think, a really graceful and honest way. My second pick is American Gods by Neil Gaiman. I think this one is just a fun one. This is one you can bring to a white elephant where I think anyone could enjoy it. It's, I think any Neil Gaiman one could exist in this category.
I agree with that fully. I agree with both of these picks. I actually gave Vanishing Half to my mom as a present and she loved it and has passed it around and shared it with others. So I think that's a great gift for anybody.
I totally agree. I think Vanishing Half I would give to basically anyone in my family, but not everyone has the same family as me.
Yeah.
But American Gods is like a blend of fantasy and like American myths, American culture. And it all follows one character who's one of my favorite characters of all time called Shadow. It's just really fun and funny, but also beautifully written.
Yeah, that's one that I feel like there's so much going on in that book. Like you're going to find something that you enjoy. For our next category, books for non-readers. So if you have friends or colleagues, family members who just typically don't like to pick up a book, aren't reading very often, maybe, you know, they'll pick up one every now and then. So that's what we're going for here. So the book that I picked for this one is Me Talk Pretty One Day by David Sedaris. This is a collection of very funny essays. It's also a relatively short book about David Sedaris, just his experiences, particularly his experiences with his family and just the wild shenanigans they get up to in his wonderfully comic writing style. I think this is one that pretty much anyone can laugh at least one of the stories.
I think that's a great idea. Honestly, like comedies are a great option for non-readers.
Such a funny one. I don't think I've ever laughed. I listened to an audiobook of this one, so different experience, but listening to him read it, I feel like I've never laughed so hard while listening to an audiobook. So something to keep in mind. What did you pick?
I picked, it's kind of similar, Little Weirds by Jenny Slate. What I loved this memoir. So this is a memoir by actress Jenny Slate. She's in Parks and Rec. She's a comedian. And it really deals with like the identity crisis she has at the point when she's writing it, which is partly due to her divorce where she was heartbroken over that. And I there was so much vulnerability and beauty in the way she represented that loss while also like knowing that that relationship needed to end. And it talks about just like how she has like lost herself in various ways, the way the world treats her, the way she sees her. It's just, it's very introspective. And again, as I said, very vulnerable, and it's fucking funny. Like it's still funny at the same time. And I keep describing it as whimsical because Jenny sees the world. Jenny, I say first name because we're such close friends. She sees the world in such like an optimistic and almost like childlike way. And I don't mean that in a condescending way, but I mean that in like a pure, like joy-filled, beautiful way.
Very nice. This is one that, I mean, you've been praising for a while now. I really want to pick this one up. I agree that that would be a good present for somebody. Should we jump on into our next category?
This next one is for books for that person you don't know very well. So maybe this is a coworker. You got Secret Santa. Maybe this is your partner's sister that you feel obligated to get a book for. Any variety of things. August, do you want to share your pick for this one?
Yeah. So when thinking of what to pick for this one, I was like, it definitely needs to be something shorter. Because most people, I feel like, aren't going to be enticed to pick up a really big book, especially if you're not super close. They don't know your taste yet. You don't know their taste yet. So something quick. And then I was thinking a genre that most people like, detective mysteries, pretty popular. So I went with a classic, Double Indemnity by James M. Cain. Classic pulp fiction, I believe from the 1940s. I did not write down the year. Whoopsie. But this is a story about a woman who wants to, with the help of an insurance claim representative, I guess, kill her husband and get the insurance money. And it's a wild story. It's absolutely fantastic. There's also a killer film adaptation, which has like the best femme fatale sunglasses, I think, out there. I think that she's just like, is rocking the look like nobody else. So you also get a fun movie recommendation out of it. So what's better than that?
Good for her.
Seriously. I think her name is... I could be wrong. I think her name is Phyllis, and go Phyllis. What's your pick?
So this is going to be the second time this appears on this episode, but that is Crying in H Mart by Michelle Zahner. And I feel strongly that this should appear on almost every category. And I chose it for the person you don't know very well because, one, it's a beautiful cover. So I think that if you give it to someone and they're like, thanks, and never read it, at least it looks good on their shelf. And for the same reason, I love Michelle Zahner, and I think they deserve our money. So that would be another way to like support them and their work. And it's the final reason, and the most important one, is it's a really fucking good book that I think would be valuable and somehow relatable to everyone who reads it. And that's just the way that Zahner presents it to us, even though they're talking about like a singular experience to them, as well as like the experience of being Asian American, or specifically Korean American. And still somehow it just feels like she like crawls into your chest and burrows deep down.
Yeah, I just think it's just such a beautiful memoir, and I feel like everyone can benefit from reading it. I feel like it's one that I already want to go back and experience again. Just a beautiful book. I love that we both love it so much. It's nice that we're finally on the same page with something. So for our next category, we have books for family members that they're books that aren't going to upset anybody. We know that some people out there have family members that are a bit more sensitive, maybe not as open-minded to certain things. So of course, we want to expand those mindsets. We want to be open-minded, but some family members aren't there yet, and it's already difficult enough dealing with them. So we have some books for those types. For me, I picked Educated by Tara Westover because let's get educated, everybody. But also, it's just a fantastic memoir. A lot like Crying in H Mart, I feel like it's one that anyone can enjoy just learning about a person and their experiences. I think Tara Westover's experiences in her childhood and growing up is something that's fascinating to all people. And maybe, you know, you can learn something while reading and not necessarily be aware that you're learning while reading. So it's always good.
Beautiful pick. I totally agree with that. And almost picked that one for that category. But I did pick Red at the Bone by Jacqueline Woodson, who I love. I love all of her books. I love this book particularly. And the reason I chose this one is it's essentially a family drama and shows a variety of different love stories. And so I think this could serve as a Trojan horse for the family member you want to be aware of maybe some unhealthy dynamics and unhealthy opinions. Because it's presented in this beautiful lyrical prose, and it really plays out mostly as a family drama. And I also think a lot of the themes are like relatable to like unhealthy family dynamics, maybe toxic intergenerational trauma. So I think it would be both educational and enjoyable. And it's only like 90 pages. So if you give it to that, like that family member who says they never read, you can be like, shut up, you can read 90 pages. Okay. And you'll enjoy it.
I completely agree with that one. I think that one is a great pick, very similar to like Vanishing Half, as you're learning while reading, but not necessarily aware with it just because like the actual content of the book is so rich. So now we have, now we're getting into actually shitty family members. So books to educate your shitty uncle or aunt or just a family member. Again, I think this is really similar to our category we're just going into. Anything different about how you approach this one?
I saw this one as opposed to the previous one, where it's just a general family-friendly book that you can give to anyone in your family. This one is maybe a bit cheeky in the gift. This is the one you bring to the Christmas party knowing that it might cause some drama, but you also want to trick them into reading it.
An interesting approach. Okay.
What was your approach?
I did not approach it that way. I approached it very similarly to non-offensive books to give to your family, or books to give to your family that are fair to everybody. I don't know why I'm struggling with how to phrase this previous category. So in comparison to like the previous category where it's just books that anyone in your family can enjoy, I viewed this one where it's like, you want them to be educated. Yeah. Like maybe there's a little tongue-in-cheekness there, but like, it's still a book that they might genuinely like pick up, because I know like my family members that I want to educate, like if I brought them like Hood Feminism, they're not going to pick that up. They're just going to be like, why the fuck did you get this? So for this one, I picked They're There by Tommy Orange, because I feel like this is a great depiction of the horrors and the just absolute violence enacted on Native communities throughout the United States, and also probably in Canada as well. But also Tommy Orange's writing is so fun. And this is, you know, a fun story. There's just a lot happening here that I feel like even somebody who's maybe more close-minded or not just as open or willing to be open could read and be like, okay with and learn from and hopefully grow from. So that's the approach I took here.
I think that makes total sense. I think I also saw it that way, where I was like, I would love for everyone in my family to read Hood Feminism, or to read, oh my God, there's so many books I would want them to read, to be honest. But like you said, if you hand that to maybe for an example, your Republican uncle who has some problematic views, they're not going to fucking read it. So I picked Maybe You Should Talk to Someone by Lori Gottlieb. Sorry if I'm mispronouncing that name. And I chose it because the first step for everyone's growth is therapy. Every fucking human on this planet should be in therapy. I'm not kidding. Really, the world would be a better place if everyone was in therapy. And this one really gets into why, because it's about a therapist and her own journey through therapy. And it makes her see the world very differently. She talks about like patients that she like that really pushed her as a therapist in both positive and negative ways. And it was a really interesting read. It gets a little bit into like the psychosis behind things, but not so much where it starts to feel like you're in psychology 101. It's very conversational and very anecdotal.
Very cool. I don't know if I've even heard of this book before you bringing it up.
Yeah, I read it last year, like last summer. My sister, Allie, shout out Allie, read it and she loved it. And so she had told me to go read it and I finally did. And I thought it was really good. I think that would be a good one because it really, the overall message is that like we all have the capacity to heal and to grow, and that having empathy for each other and the belief that everyone has the potential to grow is the first step to like healing.
Oh, I love that. That's great. Yeah. I feel like this is definitely one that I'm adding to my TBR. What's this one called again?
Maybe You Should Talk to Someone.
You should talk to someone. Okay.
There's like one part where it talks about how like people's microaggressions, like she just really goes into analyzing them and like how a lot of these microaggressions, which are harmful and like that doesn't like negate or excuse the harm they do to people. And it acknowledges that that's coming from a place of pain for them. And it's just really kind.
Wow. That sounds Wow. Okay. I know what I'm adding to my TBR for realistically next year, not this year, since it's already December.
I also have an honorable mention for this one, if it's okay. Oh,
of course.
I know we were going to try to stick to one, but for that shitty family member, I would also give them Firekeeper's Daughter by Angeline Bouley. One, this is a YA. This was voted one of the best YAs of all time in 2020. In 2021, it came out this year. So it must have been 2021. And the reason I think this would be a good one, because it's, again, in the garb of a mystery, like it's a murder mystery that they're solving, but it really gets into the politics of policing on reservations. And one of the reasons that, like, missing and murdered Indigenous people, specifically Indigenous women, never get justice is because, for a lot of reasons, a lot of reasons we don't have time to get into, but one of them is because the police force doesn't have the same jurisdiction on reservations. And it's just a really interesting read and also educational.
Yeah, that's definitely something that I want to read. That's been on my TBR since you read it earlier this year, right? Also something that just gets into something similar, because this is an important issue. The new season of Dexter is getting into how policing is different on reservations versus non-reservation land.
Good. So know.
Something Dexter Morgan, he's dealing with that. So can I just include an honorable mention here really quick that I just thought of?
Definitely.
So if we're thinking, like, as you brought up earlier, older Republican uncle, what do they love more than a history book? They're just wanting to read about the Civil War or World War II. Why not give them something a little different and give them Say Nothing by Patrick Radden Keefe, so they can learn about the corruption of police and the Irish Troubles, as well as a bunch of other stuff. I feel like there's a lot of space for growth and also just understanding there that could be really helpful to a lot of people. And also, it's a killer fucking book.
When I say that that is an iconic pick, I mean it.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Maybe the uncles will step away from their Ken Burns documentaries. They'll stop watching about baseball and they'll maybe crack open that book. Who knows? As long as they're not opening a book by, like, Trump or somebody.
Yeah. Not the Ken Burns documentary. Okay. Are we
leave
ready?
Ken Burns out of this. He's okay. Him and his bowl cut is legendary. Okay.
Shall I introduce the next category?
Yes, okay. Please.
Okay, so now on to funner, lighter things, which are books for your younger sibling, younger cousin, maybe your partner's, like, younger sibling, something that is age appropriate for all ages and also interesting. I chose The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe by C.S. Lewis. I know this might be predictable. I know this, you know, maybe many people have read this. I think it's a book that I, like, any age can enjoy. It's super fun. I know it has a lot of, like, religious undertones, not even undertones, what do we call those, overtones. Even if you're not someone who's particularly religious, I really think it's valuable and an interesting story. And I mean, I read it when I was in third grade and it, like, changed my life. So I hope it will change another young person's life.
I'm just going to back that up. I think everyone needs some Aslan in their life. Absolutely loved that as a kid. I was thinking of an older child because I don't even know how I would approach buying a book for somebody under the age of 12, not buying a lot of people that young books. So I went for, like, a 12 to 14 year old, and I picked The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime by Mark Haddon. This is a novel about a neurodivergent young boy who is working as a detective to solve the case of a dog that was killed in his neighborhood, and things change from there. This was a very approachable book. It also played with, like, having diagrams and images throughout. So I feel like it would be a fun book for a younger reader. It's also an easier mystery. So maybe get somebody younger into mysteries. You never know.
That is such a great recommendation.
Yeah.
I also need to read it.
It's on my shelf. It's also a really cute book. I like the orange with the cutout of the dog. I just feel like people would always enjoy that as a present, you know, having that nice cover.
Totally agree. Excellent pick. So then the next category is happy/uplifting books. And I think of this one as maybe someone you know in your life that might be going through a hard time, or maybe is a bit more sensitive to, like, sad books. And so they like to read something that makes them feel really good and makes them feel really light. And I picked The Midnight Library by Matt Haig. I know I've probably mentioned this one so many times. I'm really sorry. I think I gave it only like a 3.5, but I really do think it's like a really good, like light, fluffy read. And it felt just very warm in my chest. I also have a caveat for that, is that it does start in the beginning with trigger warning here with suicide ideation and then the desire to take one's own life. So I know I put this as happy, uplifting. I swear the rest of the book is, but those heavy themes do show up in the beginning. So be thoughtful with that pick for another person.
Yeah, good note to make. Thank you for clarifying that. For this one, I struggled. I don't read a lot of uplifting books outside of books by David Sedaris, and I didn't want to pick another book by him. So I picked Good Omens by Neil Gaiman and Terry Pratchett. This is a very uplifting and happy and lovely and perfect book. I just think that it's absolutely stellar. Good Omens is about an angel and a fallen angel, Crowley and Aziraphale. And they're trying to find the child of the devil because guess what? He's going to end the world. So he's going to bring about doomsday. Everything is going to be over. So it's this demon and this angel working together to try and find this kid. And it is just so sweet and so cute. And the TV show is also perfect. And they're coming out with the second season soon. So I just want everyone to read and watch it. It's just absolutely lovely. Always put the smile on my face when I think of it.
God, I know I gotta read and watch this. You've been telling me this for years.
You gotta, for David Tennant, he is so perfect.
I do love my Doctor
Who. And Michael Sheen, yeah. Him as Crowley, him and Aziraphale, their relationship is just so cute. I just love them so much and I want them to be happy. So our next category, moving on from there, is lesser known books that we think people should read, or books that we feel like maybe aren't getting the attention or just attention that they deserve. So for this one, I picked a combo of Passing and Quicksand by Nella Larsen. Sometimes these books or these novellas are grouped together in a single edition. So try and find those. Passing, movie just came out starring Tessa Thompson about passing. Really excited to see it. It is set in the 1920s and it is about a woman who decides to live her life passing as a white woman and her childhood friend who lives life as a Black identifying person. The movie was done by Rebecca Hall. Really excited to see that. Haven't seen that yet, but we actually did an entire episode dedicated partially to Passing and also Vanishing Half, which has also come up in this episode. So check that out if you want more. And then Quicksand is another novella by Nella Larsen that also gets into Black female identity and the Black female experience during the early 20th century. And, you know, they're both short. They're both, I think, historically very important and also beautifully written. We both sing Nella Larsen's praises all the time in relation to Passing because it's a book both of us have read recently that we just absolutely loved. And I don't know, I just feel like these are both ones that should be passed on to as many people as possible.
So maybe you would say we should be passing these on to as many people as possible.
Yeah, don't get stuck in quicksand when giving these out.
This is why the people tune in. Mm-hmm. High quality jokes. So my next one for books that maybe are a bit lesser known is These Wilds Beyond Our Fences, subtitle Letters to My Daughter on Humanity's Search for Home by Ayo Akamalafi. And I read this 2 years ago. I have no idea what time it is, but it was fantastic. It's beautiful. It's very philosophical, a little spiritual. And the brief synopsis of it is it's a father who's trying to explain to his daughter that we live in a world of disconnection, and he is attempting to make these profound connections between like physical spaces as well as spiritual spaces, and in order to like reassure her that the world will be a safe place for her and that like she will be loved one day, or is loved, continue to be loved. And so it gets into a little bit into climate change, it gets a little bit into like border policies, specifically because he grew up in Nigeria and then moved to Germany as a teen and then married a person who's from India and then ended up moving. So he's like moved all over the place and felt a real loss of his individual sense of identity, but also recognized that he picked up multiple identities, and rather than feeling like smaller bits of himself that are split and divided, he feels like he's more whole with all of these other identities adding to him. So it's, again, like a very profound book. It's very heavy. I had to read it like a couple, like 5 pages at a time. It took me like 2 months to read it. And I would think it's still very much worth reading and pushing through. And it's incredibly heartwarming.
Wow. This sounds, wait, what's this called again?
These Wilds Beyond Our Fences.
These Wilds Beyond Our Fences. Okay. Definitely adding that to the TBR. I remember when you like for first reading this and spacing out, like hearing you talk about it, and definitely sounds like a bit of a challenge, but definitely one worth taking on.
It's tough. It also gets into a lot of like mythology, specifically African mythology and folklore, which I personally don't encounter enough. And that's probably a my fault thing, not that it's not out there. So it was really enriching to my own education.
Very cool. Okay, should we get on to our second to last category? So this next one, we're going to share some just beautiful books, some ones where, you know, maybe these people aren't going to read them. Hopefully they will, but at least they'll have an aesthetic book for their shelf. Okay. And this is one where I couldn't help myself and I picked two. So I'll just share both of them right now. So first I have Stoner by John Williams. I have definitely shared multiple images of this cover on our Instagram feed before. So you could check that out for that. Stoner is about a man named Stoner who is living in Missouri in the early 20th century. He goes to Mizzou, University of Missouri, to study and changes his major to an English major and then eventually becomes a very depressed professor. And it's just the story of his life. Beautiful cover, outfit goals, great dark academia energy, big campus novel energy. Absolutely love that. And then another cover that I'm obsessed with, I don't have a physical copy of this book and I've been really tempted to get one, is Detransition Baby by Tori Peters. And I also think this is a good book to get somebody because I listened to the audiobook and I feel like I would have enjoyed it so much more if I had a physical copy. So just giving that gift of that joy there. This cover is beautiful, just like faces, those beautiful green and blue tones. I love it. I think it's just so stunning. And this is a story of a number of people working towards creating a family outside of what is typically seen as the quote unquote normal family structure. So like the nuclear family. So I don't have every character's name written down, so I apologize. So there's one character who has detransitioned back into being a male identifying person, their previous partner who is a trans woman, and then another person as well. And so just navigating these dynamics. And I feel like it's a beautiful exploration of what parenting can be today and also like what family means today. So definitely worth reading and checking out.
And that cover is beautiful, like the blues and the greens and yellows and purples mixing together. Yeah. So I chose for this beautiful cover category, Writers and Lovers by Lily King, which was one of my favorite books of last year. I still think it's just such a beautiful book. I could cry thinking about it. And if you haven't seen the cover, it's like half black. And then at the bottom, it's a light, like very light pink with food and wine. And it's set like a table. And that's because the main character is a server and she's really enjoys being a server. And I say actually intentionally because like as a society, we devalue that work and dehumanize the people who choose it or who are currently doing that. And that's not right. And so it goes a lot into like the food industry and also like her insecurities. And then also she's a writer. So it's like grappling with the people perceiving her as a failure. And that's just not right. And also she's dealing with the loss of her mom. So again, like careful giving this to someone, maybe if they've just lost someone they care deeply about, this is not a book they should read because it really, really gets into grief. And it was very cathartic for me. Really love it. I actually have another cover. I know originally I was like, I don't have one. I struggled with this one, but I'm going to add Circe into the mix by Madeline Miller. We are big Madeline Miller fans, but that gold like plated cover. Oh my God. It's gorgeous.
You know what this just made me think of? Do you remember earlier this year, there was some French publishing house that released alternative covers to Circe and Song of Achilles and they were perfect.
Yes.
Yeah.
I want to be honest. whenever there is a cover from a different country, specifically the UK editions, they're mm-hmm. always so much better than the American ones.
Yeah, except for A Little Life.
Oh yeah,
that's the only one that I'll disagree on. Yeah, although yeah. I do like that one. I love their version of Secret History. Very jealous of that one.
Yeah, yeah. God damn it, America.
God, I can't do anything right.
So now on to our final category, which is slash like new releases, upcoming releases, things that we're excited to read. So these are books we haven't read, but if you have a friend or a family member or something who likes to keep up with like the latest releases, we've each chosen a book for that. So I chose The Harlem Shuffle by Colson Whitehead. I'm a big fan of Colson Whitehead. I loved the Underground Railroad, and he is a Pulitzer Prize winning author. So this is a good, like, not that these accolades are necessarily required, you know, it doesn't mean that, like, if you get, you know, what I'm analyzing the politics of that too much, but I mean, sometimes when you hand someone a book and it has the Pulitzer Prize winning author on it, they're more likely to read it, to be honest. So this is, I believe it's a crime fiction novel, and I know for sure it takes place in the early 60s in Harlem. And I also know it's a family drama. I'm trying to know as little bit as possible, because from what I've read of reviews of it, it's his first thriller, and it's incredibly just like mind-blowing. So I actually have it on my shelf. My goal is to try to get to it before the end of January. We'll see if that happens.
I want to read this book so badly. I didn't know that it was set in the 60s. I knew it was a Harlem family drama, and that was it. So, wow. Get some 60s Harlem energy in there too. Ooh,
maybe that sounds good. We could read it together.
I like the sound of that. My pick for this one is one that we're for sure going to read together, because we ordered it together. We ordered a special edition from the UK so we could have it signed. We ordered it like 6 months ago. It's To Paradise by Anya Yenga Ohara. Hasn't come out yet at the time that we're recording this. We're patiently waiting for it. And I'm so excited to read this. I don't even really know what this is about. I just know that there's the three timelines, and that's where I'm leaving it. I want to go in blind. If you've read it, don't tell me. I'm jealous that you've read it already. God, don't rub it in, but wow, I'm so excited for this, specifically the first two sections, because I know the third takes place in the future, and I just don't know how I feel about maybe a sci-fi element. So, but I'm still really excited for it.
I am incredibly excited for it. I did not know that the part of it took place in the future.
Yeah, the first part is, I think, in like the 1700s or 1800s. The second part is like modern day, I believe. And then the third part's in the future.
Interesting.
I could be entirely wrong about this though.
You're probably not though. I also know like absolutely nothing. I was like, I'm not going to look at the synopsis. I'm not going to do anything. I'm going to go in blind. I probably should have looked up like trigger warnings, but
yeah,
whatever.
With Anya, you know, it's going to be pretty rough at times, I'm sure.
We love to suffer, so why not?
Yeah, anything for Anya. I'm ready for it.
Yeah, totally agree. Wow, so many books. So many books. So many more books we could have picked. Are there any like last minute honorable mentions you want to throw in as a potential gift?
Maybe like Everything I Never Told You by Celeste Ng. That's one that I'm always, I feel like, hyping up. And also, she also wrote Little Fires Everywhere. I feel like those are great books for family members, or, you know, people who like maybe a little bit more of like low stakes contemporary fiction.
Totally agree.
Just solid books.
I'll also throw in The Nightingale by Kristen Hanna. A book that we both love. And it's a good historical fiction. I know it's devastating, but like any book about World War II usually is. And a lot of people do enjoy to read about that stuff.
Yeah, that's one that actually my mom and sister recommended it for me. And then you got it for me as a present. So it is a good gift.
Great. Wow.
I can't think of any other books just off the top of my head. I'm looking over at my shelf. No, I think that's pretty much it.
I would agree. Same.
Awesome. Well, Yeah, that's our gift guide. We hope that you enjoyed this episode. Let us know if there's any books that we listed that you think would be horrible gifts, any books that we didn't include that you've gotten as a present and they maybe changed your life or you absolutely hated them. Just let us know anything in relation to books as presents. We'd love to hear about it.
Yeah. And if there's like a specific person in your life that you're like, how do I get the gift for this person who likes this? We can try our best. I don't know. We definitely don't have all the answers, but happy to help.
We don't?
We pretend to, for sure.
See, you might be pretending.
I totally am.
No.
Well, thank you so much for listening. Also, thank you for understanding that we needed a break the past couple of weeks. August has a new job.
Yeah.
Which is
new job and finals. So it's been a rough 2 weeks, but I'm almost done with my finals and still have the new job, still employed. So things are looking good.
It's very exciting, a very exciting time. So yeah, thank you again for understanding that we're human and humans and sometimes need breaks. And there might be like a week or two where we do take off in the future, just so that this podcast feels sustainable and also that our mental health is being prioritized.
Yeah. But again, thank you so much for listening. We really appreciate it. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify. On Apple Podcasts, you can subscribe and leave a review. We really appreciate those 5-star and written reviews. On Spotify, you can just follow. So make sure you click that button. It really helps us out.
Yeah. And if you want to get into contact with us or you want to stay up to date on the latest podcast news, you should find us on Instagram at BookDumbPodcast. You also can find us individually if you have like specific feedback or specific recommendations. I'm Kendra, so I'm at Kendra Lapp on Instagram.
And you can find me, August, on Instagram at Iggy Poop.
Thanks again so much for listening. We love you. Have a great day. Bye.
Bye.